Welcome to the Amplifying Leadership Podcast. I am your host, Tara Lehman, a partner, coach, and consultant at Twin Life Coaching and Business Services, of which Amplifying Leadership is a division. This podcast is a place dedicated to amplifying your leadership through our guest stories, tips, information, and more. To learn more about our leadership division, please visit us at amplifyingleadership.ca. Today, I am welcoming Tucker Miller, President and CEO of Onward Leadership. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Tara. It's nice to be here.
So I would love for our audience to get to know you a little bit first and a little bit about your leadership background. So why don't we start there?
Well, my leadership background really started as a child. I grew up in a military family and I, would walk around and everyone was wearing uniforms and saluting and all of that. So I think it was deeply embedded from a young age. You knew who the leaders were. They had the uniform and the signals. But in the context of my professional work as a leader, I initially started in law school. So I loved business, got a business degree, went on to law school and became a member of the Bar Association practicing law in a company. There's the business part that brought me back. Yes. And so I love the practicing law in the context of business. And that opened the doors for roles in human resources and risk management. Ultimately, I took on other corporate roles, and my most recent one before starting my own company was the managing vice president for a international training company.
Wow.
Supporting companies and leaders in their day-to-day behaviors, interactions, as well as compliance with the law. And then some part of me decided, at this juncture in my career, what's the regret I don't want to have? And it was having my own business. So I stepped away to work more with leaders, but as an executive coach and supporting them more directly and in a safe space to refine their leadership skills, and particularly to focus on how to navigate high stakes conversations and interactions to advance their leadership goals as well.
And I love what you do because I do similar things. It's about really leaders don't stop growing. We have to continually build our skills, right? That's all it is. You need to build those skills. You need the coaches, you need the training, the books, whatever it is that people, learn from to continue to build our leadership skills. So love what
Agreed.
You're doing. Yeah.
Yeah. And back at you.
Yeah, thanks.
We're members of the same team here.
We are.
Yeah.
So as we know, there's a lot of leaders out there who, we have to have difficult conversations. So those difficult situations, what are some of the challenges that you're seeing with the people that you work with or just out there about this?
So I love, we all have to have difficult conversations. So what makes for a difficult conversation? I'm going to start internally. Here's the coaching piece. What makes for a difficult conversation is the story you've already told yourself about why you shouldn't have it and what's going to happen if you do have it. And that becomes one of the biggest pieces. But externally, we start to look at, there are a lot of triggering kinds of comments and words. What we might have talked about 6 months ago might not land the same way that we talk about it now. We're in a very dynamically changing world environment and sensitivities. And I think it's one of those things that kind of feeds back into people's hesitation about whether or not they should say something. So the first is, why do we keep framing everything as a difficult conversation? It's oftentimes to justify the lack of initiative or intention to lean into a conversation.
Right.
And I was just speaking with someone yesterday and I said, the biggest difficulty you have in the challenging conversation is that you've already decided for yourself it's going to be challenging. And he was describing that as a leader, it's very difficult for him to share the specific direction that he wants to go. And he tends to kind of shy away from it and, people please throughout. And I said, the kindest thing you might do is show up and be brief, direct, and clear. Because what makes for difficulty right now is the ambiguity of why are we all here and where are we going?
Yes.
Kindness can be maybe more direct than what we think it is, and people might be grateful for it in ways that you don't imagine.
Yeah. And you know, it's interesting because I talked a little bit about that too on one of my more recent LinkedIn posts, but really about having those conversations. It's not about, you know, people pleasing. It's about, yes, be kind. Yes, be professional, be polite, but we still need to be clear and we still need to be concise, right? So we do need to have those difficult conversations. I do want to come to something that I love that you said that I talk about as well. And that is the assumptions we tell ourselves that may or may not be factual. We have these assumptions, as you said, from 6 months ago, but that's not necessarily a reality or even a fact anymore. Maybe I assume that Tucker's going to be difficult to talk to. And so I hold back and all these feelings inside, and then Tucker comes in and now I create that conversation, right?
That's absolutely right. There's that energy. And I think, you know, performance conversations is often a place that people shy away from, leaders shy away. It's like, I don't want to be the person that gives the bad news, but what a shame it is to have someone who could perform better if they only had more accurate information. It may be the kindest thing that you share. And I've seen those examples in my own work where someone said, you know, it was hard to hear, but had I not heard it, I couldn't have managed it. And I now can retire with my head held up high because I got the feedback and I got support to address it. But if it had been allowed to persist, whatever the performance or conduct issue was, I could have easily been fired. And that would have been a totally different course of action. And so I remind leaders, helping people understand what they're doing well and where they can improve may be uncomfortable for you, but it may be the biggest gift that you offer someone else. So buckle up. That's why you're the leader.
Yes, exactly. And I love that because it's great that we tell them what they're doing fantastically. That really does help boost morale. But we need to be clear on what we need to see as improvements. And I love that you said improvements because I hate when people say I've got to criticize them or I have to give them bad news. No, it's look at the issue and try to improve it to help them. Because that's,
absolutely.
Then you get to keep them, especially if they're really good at something, right?
Right. And they will also be your biggest advocates. When people will question your judgment or question whether or not that was a fair decision, you'll have someone who will say, I know this person really well. They had my back and I know you can trust them. You know, those are the people you want on your team, is the people that see you at your best.
Yeah. And we know that communication is a massive part of everything, but with leaders, they have to be on top of this. Then it has to be good communication. So if we think about having a difficult conversation and we're a leader who maybe is a little bit hesitant or nervous around that, what are some strategies that they can use to communicate what they need to, but feel confident about doing so?
Right. Well, this is something I've spent a lot of time thinking about. And part of the reason I thought about it a lot is I kept hearing very confident, high-level leaders telling me they needed to have a conversation with someone, and we'd talk about why and what the benefit was and what the intention was, and that was all good. We had a business case established, we'd practice a conversation, and then when I'd meet with them again, I would say, how did it go? And too often I kept hearing that it wasn't happening. And I said, but you agreed and we planned and, you know, all the things. I said, why didn't it happen? And the answer I got, which we'll get to the answer to your question, the answer I kept hearing was, I didn't know what to say. And this is from a high level person who's often very well educated. It's clearly not a vocabulary issue. I didn't know the words. I didn't know what to say. The message behind it was, I was too afraid of what would happen. What if it went wrong? Too many people are going to hear about it. One person told me I just didn't have time for the conflict because I'd already made up the story of how it was going to happen. So that was the question that I was trying to address. What's the strategy that makes starting the conversation so easy that you can't not try it just to see if you're right? So the goal was to move people out of their fear thinking from the lizard in the back of their brain, guiding what they were doing. How do you get them to start to think of it as a puzzle where we're using our prefrontal cortex? And so that was the gamification aha that I came to. And I wrote a book about this because what I found is, well, the question I posed is, what's the sweet spot of just enough to get a conversation started, but not so much that people aren't hearing what you're saying anymore?
Mm-hmm.
What's just short enough that you can't not have the conversation? And I thought of it as kind of, it'd be easy to sit on the couch and just forget about it and stay comfortable mm-hmm. and avoid the conversation. But what's the way to shorten the distance between the couch and the conversation? That was how right. I started to think about it.
Love it.
So I started asking questions, listening to conversations I was having with people, mm-hmm. thinking there must be a sweet spot. And there was. Mm-hmm. Consistently, I found four words. Four words was just enough to get people really thinking intentionally about what they wanted to say, okay. that created enough space for people to hear it and respond. And it was so short. How could you not give it a whirl? And honestly, I had clients who tried it just to prove me wrong, and I didn't care anymore because that distance between the couch and the conversation shortened up, even if the intention was to show me it didn't work. You know what happened? People are so hungry for interaction and conversation, mm-hmm. and a well-thought-out beginning ended up being the key thing to having the conversation that hadn't been had. Right. So it could be as simple as, let's have a conversation. Four words. Just mm-hmm. that little pause. Let's have some time to interact with each other. So there are a lot of expressions that I used in my book and examples of things that I heard with clients. Four words that would get things started. Four words that you could say in certain situations.
Mm-hmm.
And that, quite frankly, is such a simple strategy. You know, is it ridiculous or is it genius? I decided to lean into genius and see what happened and
we'll lean
book.
There. I love it.
Yeah, why not?
Why
it
not?
Seemed to help people. So I put it out there. So the book is the first four words with lots of examples of four word phrases to use.
I love the one that is the conversation. Let's have a conversation. It makes it sound so different than meet me in my office, because right then you're like, what's wrong? Right. But if you say, let's have a conversation, it's like, oh, mm-hmm. okay, well, we're opening up to something. We're going to talk. We're going to maybe problem solve, rather than it feeling like, oh, I have to go to Tucker's office today. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
it's so open and welcoming and not harsh. Something else I wanted to come back to is the absolute timing of things, because mm-hmm. some leaders that I've worked with, they're telling me and it's 2 months later. And I'm like, well, you know, you kind of set precedent by not having that meeting about X, right? So now you need to figure out, how are you going to go back? So do you find that a lot of the leaders you work with also do those types of things? Like they say, it's too late now.
Yeah, I hear that a lot. That again is the story. And mm-hmm. unfortunately, the reason why you're probably talking about it 2 months later is it happened again and they're really ticked off. Mm-hmm. And it's like, then be disappointed with yourself for not talking about it sooner. But the challenge around timing is not only that it be prompt in the discussion so that everybody has a more consistent memory of things, mm-hmm. but also that you're giving enough pause that you're not coming in emotionally hot. You know, you don't want to come in too hard, too fast. You're looking for that Goldilocks space of not too hard, not too soft, not too hot, not too cold. And mm-hmm. so when we talk about immediacy of feedback, it may not be in the moment when you're most upset, but mm-hmm. it needs to be close enough in time that everyone can recollect some version of a similar set of facts. We're all going to see it from different perspectives. But the longer you wait, the more the problem festers. And too often I see leaders waiting to the point that they can't take it anymore. And it may be just the tiniest example that sets mm-hmm. them off, which not only is not fair to the employee or the team member, it really marginalizes the leader in terms mm-hmm. of their credibility and their people's perceptions of them. So finding that right timing is key.
I agree with that too, because we don't want to let things go, because now it's our fault if the employee isn't performing. And yet a lot of leaders will just blame the employee when really we haven't even corrected the issue. So we're leading the employee in the wrong direction and they're just making the same mistakes or, you know, not following direction, whatever that is, because we've never told them any different. It's setting a precedent again, right? Because you waited too long.
Yeah. One of my core rules when I was, you know, working employee relations is be kind. And the second one is no surprises. The only surprises that we should really tolerate as leaders are the externals that we have no control over. But no surprises is really a key guide for how you want to communicate in a timely and effective way.
I also want to come back to the fact that you said take a pause, right? Because we don't want to have a big issue and we're really heated and we just go right away, right? Let's just take a pause. Let's just realize if the mistake happened and maybe it's a process issue and calm ourselves down before we have that nice, kind, but professional conversation, right?
Yeah.
Because that's important.
Let's take a pause, by the way, is a four-word phrase.
Yes.
Let's take a pause.
Let's
you know,
take a
I
pause.
Find
yeah.
You start to count how many words you're using and you'll notice, oh, there's another one. Let's take a pause. And I think that can be really helpful because what happens is if we come in too fast, too upset, what comes out is a whole lot of words, explanations, justifications, and excuses for why we didn't talk about it sooner. And I might be so upset that I'm speaking at a very high pitch or volume. And all the person hears is, wow, that person was really upset.
Yeah.
And you've messed the content entirely. Too many words is white space.
It's got to be clear and concise because otherwise it goes in one ear and it's the other is just letting it out. You know what I mean? Like they can't process it. So when you're clear and concise, they can process what you're saying and work with you to find solutions.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely. Let me ask you this because we have a lot of new or new leaders or people who would like to be leaders that listen to the podcast. And I'm wondering their first one, they've never had a difficult conversation before. What are the strategies around that can help them to prepare? Because obviously their confidence will be very low at this point because they haven't done it before. Any strategies?
First of all, I think going in humble is good. So your confidence may be low, but you might characterize it as, you know, I'm going to come in curious. I'm going to come in to learn what else is going on. So if we lean from lack of confidence to curiosity, that just sort of gives you a little bit more lift in addressing it. One of the things that I think is really helpful is write it down, write some notes. It doesn't have to be a script, but when you can see the thoughts that you have about a situation, immediately you might start to see it in a different way. And maybe your initial reaction to a situation when you see it in black and white on the page is, do I really know that that's going on? Or is that what I think is going on? And that gives you that little bit of space to take the pause, look at what I think I know. And what are three questions that you might want to ask when you get to that conversation? Because that's that curiosity piece. It brings our emotional response down and it gives the other person the fairness of being able to explain themselves, but also to feel a sense of care for their point of view. And you may be incredibly surprised at what you learned. So in some ways, rather than imagining as a new man, now I've got to go in and give them a talking to about their performance, I'm going to be really curious and ask some questions and then look for ways that we can solve this together.
I love that. Going from the assumption base to being curious and asking questions. I'm an advocate to a lot of the leaders I work with to say, if you're having difficult conversations, remember, it may not be the person's fault. So don't blame them. It's probably a process problem somewhere. But
yes,
look for the facts. Don't assume that just because something was late, that Tara's always going to do it late or she's always done it late before. Why is Tara doing it late? Right? Maybe those are a question for coming late to meetings. Okay, you're always late for meetings. Tell me why that is. Right? Being curious and finding out, well, I always have a meeting right before and I can never get to it. Okay, now we know what the problem is. Instead of just saying, you're not here, fix it. You know what I mean? Right?
I have a colleague who says facts before drama.
Yes.
And by the time you get the facts, oftentimes there's no need for drama.
Mm-hmm. And I love the idea of writing it out, especially for new leaders, so that they can get a clearer vision of what is it that they're actually dealing with, so they can see, is this the person or is it a process? And that can change the conversation. And
completely.
Be curious. Just be curious. Ask questions for sure. So how can, if we start changing our conversations from being short to the point to being more of these open conversations around the difficult pieces, so now we're being more collaborative, we're trying to be solution-based, how can that change a culture at a workplace?
Well, significantly, especially if we're used to barking orders and always reacting. If we start to think about how can we be collaborative and also proactively collaborative, then we're not reacting all the time and we're getting the benefit of other inputs. I will tell you, though, that one of the tension points is in this time of tremendous amount of urgency and uncertainty, people really question, the leaders I work with question, how much time can I devote to consensus-based decision-making? And I said, it may not be that you're allowing people to vote. You may or may not have a democracy type culture in your organization, but being open, receptive, and curious to other people's ideas is really key to engaging people. And engagement is the key to retaining talent. So how do you maximize the input that you hired? You know, we brought these people in for what they can contribute. Are you allowing them to contribute at their highest level? Looking for those opportunities, even while you still might be the ultimate decision maker or timing wise, you might need to move forward. Giving people a chance to be seen and heard is one of the most important things any leader can do.
And again, you're talking to being curious, right? Completely. Because we're asking for inputs, we're asking for feedback. It's all about being curious so that we go the right way forward. Because our way is not always the right way, and difficult conversations happen, but we can go in a different direction if we need to, right? So all of these things just are about being curious. It comes down to that as a good culture. I mean, decision makers have to happen, right?
Right. Well, and Tara, you raised the point earlier about leaders are always looking to learn, and that's part of it. What can I learn today? Maybe collaboration doesn't resonate with you, but if you can lean into what can I learn today and who might I learn something from that would surprise me? What a fun way to come into work and say, I cannot wait to find out what I learned today that I wasn't even expecting.
Wouldn't that make Monday morning so much nicer?
Every morning so much nicer.
Like, really, it is about building that so we're happy to go to work too.
Because
we, as leaders, you know, we have tough lives, but there's ways to make it fun and learn something every day for sure. Yeah.
Yes. Couldn't agree more.
So if we were to wrap up our conversation today, is there like a key strategy that you want to share with our audience so that if they are still having those difficult conversations, they can move to more of a be curious type culture?
I think when we focus exclusively or primarily on how difficult the conversations are, we miss some of the successes that we're routinely having. And the things that are easy for us, we overlook them often. And there's strengths in the things that we do habitually and with ease. So take a minute and focus not exclusively on what's difficult that you need to do, but what are you enjoying and what's been easy? And start to think about, if I had to coach someone, what's the recipe for success in these places that I find easy? What are the tips that I could share with someone? Breaking it down so that you can nurture that in other people and continue to build it in yourself, I think is a wonderful way for leaders to honor themselves and also nurture the people around them. So look at where you're doing things well. We don't think that way. Leaders are often trying to fix what's broken all the time in themselves and in others. But you start to look at, what am I doing well? You'll also end up noticing little subtle things that your team members are doing that you can celebrate specifically, as you said, because they then become role models as well.
And I love that you say that because we are so focused on the negative and the economies of the world and all the other stuff going on. We focus on the negative right now. And so if we can find something positive in ourselves for growth or in our employees every day and just say those little thank yous, pat ourselves on the back, whatever that is, even to start the day or to end a bad day, can actually change your mindset around it and be happier at
Absolutely.
work, right? Because we all want to be
Right.
happier on Monday mornings.
And who doesn't want to work with a leader who's pretty happy and confident
Yeah.
and optimistic? Optimism
Exactly.
is really one of the secret ingredients for successful leaders. So build that optimism in yourself and it will expand.
I love it. Lots of good stuff in our conversation today. Confidence building and thank yous and just getting change happening for the good. So I would love for our audience to be able to reach out, maybe find your book. Is there a place online that they can do that?
Sure. Best place to reach me is either on LinkedIn at Tucker Miller or my website is onwardleadership.com. I would love to hear from people there. And then my book is available anywhere you can buy books online. And it's called The First Four Words by J. Tucker Miller.
Love it. Thank you so much for your time today. Great tips in this conversation.
Thank you, Tara. It's really been nice to talk with you.
Of course, we thank you, our audience. We do hope you gained some valuable information and tips today from our conversation with Tucker. If you enjoyed this episode, be sure to leave us a great rating because this helps us and our guests like Tucker reach even more leaders with helpful tips, information, and advice. We love helping other leaders grow and thrive, so we would love for you to consider our brand new Amplifying Leadership Circle community. More information is found at amplifyingleadership.ca/community-info. Leadership is better when we do it together. For more information about all of our Amplifying Leadership services, please visit us anytime at amplifyingleadership.ca, a division of Twin Life Coaching and Business Services. Until next time, remember, leadership matters.